The scriptures say that Sri Gurudev must be regarded just as the Lord. But we are degraded people of Kali Yuga, and our hearts are easily polluted. If we cannot regard our Gurudev like that, then what should we do? The scriptures order us to regard Sri Gurudev as the Lord. The highly qualified people of the previous ages, like Satyayuga, were easily able to understand this truth. In other words, the disciples saying, well, look, my mind is crazy, and how's this guy is God, or this guru is the Lord. I mean, forget it. I can't get into it. So it's this typical Kali Yuga person. So the Gurudev is saying, well, you're right. You're unfortunate. Because in previous ages, it was easy to understand this truth. But now the people of Kali Yuga naturally have very polluted and envious hearts. If you cannot place Gurudev on such an elevated seat, then there's no harm. It's also sufficient if you can consider him your heart's beloved and your closest relative. When the disciple considers Gurudev to be his dearmost relative, he will attain a matchless ecstasy within his heart. If the disciple is unable to conceive of Sri Guru as God, then it will not help to impose this conception by force. Actually, no one but a highly qualified devotee can see Sri Gurudev exactly as the Lord. If you really have qualification, and really advanced and intelligent and full of faith, and very pure and advanced soul, then you can see, yes, God has come. It is enough if you can see him as the best relative and think like this: I find greater ecstasy in seeing him, my Gurudev, my Sri Gurudev, as my dearmost and best friend. You also can conceive of him like that, and you will feel even greater ecstasy. So you see him as your relative, your mother and father, it's one thing. So you feel some happiness. But if you see him as your friend, as your dearmost friend, dearmost and best friend, that's a little more intimate than the other relative. It is said that Govinda cannot be worshipped without the Guru. It's like in 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, the best is one who always thinks of me with love. But if you can't always think of me with love, then work for me. If you can't work for me, do some charity. So there's different levels of he's allowing. Somewhere, see your Gurudev in some favorable aspect, as friend, as relative. It's very important to consider Sri Gurudev to be God himself. How many ordinary disciples are able to see Sri Gurudev exactly as God, apart from some highly qualified disciples, which is what he's saying here? You have to really be qualified to see, because like this other disciple is saying, well, look, I'm a Kali Yuga. Look, if you're not able to see Gurudev completely as God, then consider him to be your most trusted relative. From this position of the most trusted relative, or your most trusted relative, the awareness of him as God will gradually develop. Okay. If, in fact, you don't become offensive. So if you gradually, you know, by associating and serving him, you'll start to realize, wow, actually, God has come before me, the super soul. God means the super soul. My super soul is God in my heart. It's come out of my heart to lead me back to him, to guide me and help me. I told you before, without taking a guru, the disciple cannot select his own worshipable deity or become deeply absorbed and fixed in that worshipable deity. Without accepting at least one person as one's superior, no one in this world can advance, either on the path of jnana or on the path of bhakti. Unless someone, you know the question, right? Do we need guru to experience Govinda? Unless someone introduces you to something that you don't know, you can never know and experience that thing. The guided principle is a very high transcendental principle, and the secrets of this subtle principle cannot be understood through our gross knowledge-acquiring intelligence. When this principle is realized, we can awaken such delectable ecstasies as bhav, prem, and bhakti in our hearts. Do you know what Sri Gurudev is like? He is like a telephone connector of the spiritual path. Unless he establishes the bhav connection, there is no question of the devotee getting contact with God. You want to make a call to God and to go through the operator. Hello, operator, yes. Can you connect me with Krishna? Yes, just 1 minute, please. Krishna, can you come down and take my burfi? Well, did you make it with love and devotion? Yes, I did my best. All right, I'll be right there. The Lord is up there, and the devotee is down here. Just as you can speak with a distant relative through the telephone wire, similarly, the devotee and God can communicate with the wire of bhav.
That's pretty good.
And it is Sri Gurudev himself who connects this wire. If he is not so kind to supply the electric power for this connection, the devotee will never be able to speak to the Lord. Hence, there is no other way for the devotee than to take shelter of his guru. Question. How high must the devotee's esteem of Sri Gurudev be? How much faith must we have in him? Disciples should feel that no one is greater than Gurudev, and no one can match his guru either. Once this type of faith is placed in the guru, this firm confidence is placed in him. Nothing can make it waver anymore. It will remain equally intact forever. Srimad Mahaprabhu personally explained how high the esteem must be for the guru, and how he must be seen with the eyes of faith. This is from Chaitanya Bhagavat. Griniyam yavani panim vishetva shondikalyam. Even if Gurudev marries or dallies with a yavani girl, and even if Gurudev enters into a bar, still Nityananda's two lotus feet are worshipped by the Brahmins. There is another saying, yadyapi amaru guru shundi bhari jaya, tatapi amaru guru Nityananda roya. Even if my guru goes to a bar, still my guru is directly Lord Nityananda. This is the high image one must have of guru. He makes that point a lot. But it's pretty much our ideas that, well, I think it would be difficult for devotees in Kali Yuga to be able to accept this principle. Gurudev should always be completely pure in all his behavior. Sanatana Goswami glorifies Haridas Thakur and Chaitanya, in the same Chaitanya Charitamrita. In other words, what they're trying to say is here that I have so much faith in my Gurudev, I have so much confidence and faith in my Gurudev, and even if he did that, it doesn't matter. But it doesn't mean the Gurudev would ever do it. And if he didn't actually do it, then a faith would break. You know, you understand the point? In other words, he can do anything, but I have faith in him. But he'll never do anything like that. Guru will never do that. That's why Sanatana Goswami says, real Guru. Sanatana Goswami says to Haridas Thakur, some people, they behave very nicely, but they don't preach. And some people preach very nicely, but they don't behave very nicely. But you, my dear Haridas, you do both. You behave very nicely and you preach very nicely. So therefore, you are the Guru of the whole, you are the Jagat Guru for the whole universe. Extent of the faith of disciple and Guru, that Guru can even marry a barbarian. Still he's my guru. I'll never give him up. Even if Nityananda goes in a bar, I know he went in there for selling a set of books or something. Or he married a yavana girl to get her inheritance or get her dowry, because the yavana girl's father said, if you marry my daughter, I'll give you $50 billion. And $50 billion he has built a temple for his deity or something. Whatever, but they would never do that. So you have to keep this point in mind. It is written in the scriptures that the disciple commits an offense if he hears his guru being blasphemed. But if some person unknowingly uses words that slight or criticize someone's Gurudev, what should the disciple do then? Should the disciple hate that critical person and become his enemy? Answer. The disciple who has given his whole heart to his guru has a very high regard for his beloved Gurudev, and he worships him, placing him on a very high level of ideal. If someone unknowingly uses words that criticize or slight his Sri Gurudev, the disciple should not get agitated or angry at all. First of all, he should remind the critic with sweet words that he considers the person he criticizes to be his guru. In other words, you're with someone and say, you know, that guy's, that sannyasi, he's blah, 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 blah. Oh, yeah. Well, you may have feelings like that, but you have to understand that person you're speaking about is actually my beloved Gurudev, who I've given my heart and soul to. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know. If I'd known that, I would have changed what I said. I wouldn't have said that. Remind the critic with sweet words that I, or he, considers the person he criticizes to be his guru. If the critic does not stop despite this reminder, then the disciple must be very tolerant and stay calm, even if the criticism is repeated once, twice, or thrice. Wow. This is pretty amazing. Prabhupada doesn't speak so tolerantly. Usually you're supposed to leave. As you said, you're supposed to leave the area. But this is someone unknowingly, but it's, wow. But if you say, and now he knows. I mean, in other words, you say, this is my guru. But if the critic does not stop despite this reminder, you tell him, hey, wait a minute, this is my guru. Then a disciple must be very tolerant and stay calm, even if the criticism of his guru is repeated once, twice, or thrice. After that, he should politely say with sweet words, dear sir, you are speaking all these unjustly critical words about my Sri Gurudev. Would you like it if I spoke such words about your Sri Gurudev? If not, then please refrain from any more criticisms of my guru in my presence. And then, if he still will not stop, sounds like he's Shishupal at Rajasuya Sacrifice, who offended Krishna 99 times in a row. Krishna this and Krishna that and Krishna this. Then Krishna took out his Sudarshan Chakra. Oh yeah. Then if he will still not stop, then the disciple will say, look, people in this world should help each other. If by speaking such negative words you destroy this faculty of support that is there between us, then will we not both lose? It is to be hoped that the critic will definitely stop after hearing these words. If even this does not work, and the critic continues his slanderous and blasphemous campaign, then the final solution is, depending on the etiquette, to leave the place where the critic resides and go elsewhere, where this blaspheming of the guru does not have to be heard. But beware. You should not bear even the slightest malice towards the blasphemer or use any abusive words against him. If you do so, you cannot understand the principle of universal love. The disciple must be very careful with this, and this is why I am telling you this. Bold print. Take care that your attitude of more humble than a blade of grass and tolerant than a tree does not diminish. It's extreme tolerance there. Now, if someone is blaspheming a devotee or offending the Lord or blaspheming a devotee, there are different responses given according to the position, the devotee's position. If one is a Kshatriya, Kshatriya is to cut. The word cut means to use violence. Kshatriya means to deliver. So you deliver one from his problems with violence. Kshatriya. So you can deliver one from his offensive behavior by cutting off his tongue, cutting out his tongue. This is Kshatriya. So just like a tiger comes in the village and he's harassing the farmers and eating the calves. So he says, hey, where's my king? I mean, I can't fight a tiger, but you're supposed to be able to fight tigers. So then the king comes there and he delivers that farmer from the harassment of that tiger by cutting the tiger. So the Kshatriya can do like that, but a Brahmin is supposed to be forbearing and forgiving. So he forgives and he leaves. He leaves that place. Or as this person is saying, he tries to convince him, or he says it. Or He says, you're speaking unjustly critical words about my Gurudev. Would you like it if I spoke such words about your Sri Gurudev? He's a very cool-headed and rational approach to the whole thing. And it's very nice, actually, if someone's blaspheming, but we may have more of a country nature. And different countries are typified by that nature also. But mostly all of us in Kali Yuga are Shudras, Kalo Shudra Sambhava. So we have a fighting nature, a lot of fighting going on in this world. This is the age of fighting, quarrel. It's Kali Yuga is the age of quarrel and fighting. So everybody wants to fight. This destroys the faculty of support that there is between us, speaking such negative words, because we're two disciples or disciples. People are supported by friendly dealings and by... Best thing is to be very tolerant, but just say, the way I would instruct on this to someone, or what I would also do myself, I would just leave. I would just leave the place. I say, excuse me, what I would say if someone's blaspheming a devotee or a Gurudev, I'd say something like what's said here. Really, what is the value of what we're saying, what we're talking about right now? Is this actually increases our bhakti for Krishna? Is this actually increases our devotion by speaking like this? Not just speaking, not so in that way, it's very common. See, what is the value of this? Is it by speaking like this, is this going to help increase my devotion or increase your devotion? Increase your purity? Will this increase your purity and my purity by speaking like this? Does this remind us of Krishna? Is this something favorable for our devotional service? Like Rupa Goswami says, we should accept those things that are favorable and reject those things that are unfavorable. So if this is all you want to talk about, then I really don't have time to talk about these things. If you want to talk about Krishna or hear about Krishna, let's read about Krishna. Tell it to somebody else. There's 5 billion people out there. Go find someone and tell it to them. I don't have time. I'm sorry. I'm just a small person. I don't have much time left. I mean, I could die tomorrow. I could die in 5 minutes. I don't want to spend the last 5 minutes of my life speaking negatively or badly about someone. Do you know, are you going to live for 5 minutes more? Are you sure? You want to spend the last 5 minutes of your life? You're dying words? You want to, that guy, that. Yeah. You want to die like that? That dirty dog. That's the last thing you say? No, it would be very unfortunate to leave the world. So there's no guarantee, so let us use our time very wisely and control our speech and try to vibrate that vibration which produces ultimate benefit for everyone in the world. Anyone who hears the vibration will be promoted and elevated and improved and enhanced, enlightened and purified. That is the purpose of speech. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, one should speak truthfully and beneficially. He said, that's austerity. He says, austerity of the mind consists in speaking truthfully and beneficially. He's talking in Bhagavad Gita about different types of austerities. And austerity of speech, I think, is speaking truthfully and beneficially. And austerity of the mind consists of studying the Vedas regularly. That's because the mind wants to jump all around. Doesn't want to sit down and study the Vedic literatures. The mind is always jumping here and there. So austerity of the mind is to study the sacred conversation daily. It says in the 18th chapter, and austerity of speech consists in speaking truthfully and beneficially. And beneficially means to speak purely and transcendentally for everyone's benefit. Then they try to say that whatever you throw out comes back to you. So if you throw out good thoughts and good speaking and loving vibrations, then that's what comes back to you. If you throw out blasphemy, and fault-finding, then fault-finding and blasphemy comes to you. People blaspheme you, and you become a very abode of all those faults. You fault find with others, and you become the abode of those faults. Oh, he did this, and he did that. Then you become the doer of those same things. You start to exhibit and perform those same faults. How should the disciple endeavor to obey the orders of Sri Guru and do what he likes and refrain from doing what he does not like? Do what the Guru likes, wants him to do, and refrain from doing what the Guru doesn't want him to do. The most important duty of the disciple is to obey Sri Gurudev's orders with all of his heart. We are worldly people, and we will have various worldly duties to perform. But first and foremost, we must think of obeying the orders of Sri Gurudev. I think he's speaking to grihasthas now, worldly people. In other words, a brahmacharini or brahmachari or surrendered
Grihastha Brahmachari, Grihastha, as Prabhupada said. Living in an ashram or an ashram situation, I don't think he's speaking directly here to them. A disciple feels himself blessed and fulfilled when he can act in a way that pleases Gurudev. So how does a disciple feel blessed and fulfilled? The happiness that the disciple feels when the disciple acts in the way that Gurudev loves him to act or wants him to act is indescribable. The fully surrendered disciple who has given his heart to his guru relishes an indescribable ecstasy when he acts in the way the guru wants him to. Repeating. Words cannot describe how honey sweet and loving that ecstasy is. What to speak of acting in the way the guru, and acting a way the guru will not love or not want. Any of these is love is to be one. He does not even think of acting in such a way. The disciple doesn't even think of acting in such a way. If he even hears such topics, he at once shivers in astonishment. He doesn't think of acting against the orders of his guru or in a way that displeases guru. And if he even hears about it, someone suggests something like that, he becomes astonished. He shivers in astonishment. He cannot even imagine acting in a way that his Gurudev does not like. If he is not able, however, to act in the way that his Gurudev likes, then that disciple condemns his inability to do this 100 times. But he always tries and endeavors to act in a way that his guru likes. And he is always anxious not to violate Gurudev's orders in the future either. Actually, even the thought of acting in a way that his Gurudev does not like will not be able to cross his mind. So that's the loyalty, that even though people are criticized, even though you get criticized for something, I don't care if I get criticized, because people are criticizing, hey, you're a Vaishnava, why do you have this mustache and beard? So my Gurudev wants me, he said that you should keep it. You're going to the job, you're going to work, you should keep it. So even though you're criticized, it doesn't matter. If it's pleasing the Gurudev, then that's the loyalty that you have. You don't care about what the society thinks. Hey, why'd you shave your head? You look weird. Why'd you grow your hair out? Why are you wearing a dhoti in Delhi? Why are you walking around Delhi with a dhoti on? Where's your Levi's and t-shirt? And my Gurudev told me to throw away this karmi clothes. Only wear devotee clothes.